Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God, He loves us and He is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. I thank the Lord that He has good things in store for His people, great things in store. As we follow Him, as we follow after Him, seeking Him, we learn things we can't learn any other way. The Lord recently put on my heart to talk about focus. What happens when people focus on Him? And what happens when they focus on other things? Everybody has something they're focused on. The Lord loves us. He's focused on being a blessing by His love. To everyone who is willing, everyone who will receive His love can live in His kingdom. He loves all of us deeply. He didn't even want the angels to fall, they fell. But when people get involved with sin, sin gets in their will, it gets in their countenance, it gets in their endeavors. And it starts, all sin starts with a false focus. Now, in John, it sums up the world system. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. And it gives us the first example of the first son of Satan. In Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 11 through 19, it gives description about Lucifer's kingdom and what happened. His focus went off the heart of God's will. And he knew to look at God. He knew to look to the Lord. And his focus went to His beauty and His wisdom. And from there, he wanted preeminence. He felt like he was so wise and so beautiful that he could cause everybody to worship him, just like they do when they worship God. And he made five satanic statements that he would exalt his throne above others and be like the Most High God. And sin was found in him. And his kingdom was judged. And he was fired. And he became the enemy of God, the enemy of His anointing, the enemy of His own purpose, the reason that God made him in the first place. And so, when God gave Adam the five commandments of life, the first five commandments, it was what to do with the love he had. The Lord said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over it. And when I first read that, and when it first caught my attention, I read it many years before it caught my attention. And I realized these are the first five commandments. The Ten Commandments were written for the lawless, people who were off focus, who trusted the worldly way. They were off track. But to Adam, this is what to do with life. And I said, Lord, you told him to do all these things, but you didn't say anything about love. He said, son, all he understood was love. So Adam had a heart full of love, and this is how you use the love in your heart. This is how you manage it. This is what you do with it. Be fruitful. Multiply. Replenish the earth. Subdue it. And have dominion over it. There's nothing in those five statements that has anything to do with laziness. There's nothing in those five statements that has anything to do with preeminence. Because you're helping other people be the best that they can be. It's helping people be all they can be. is receiving and distributing life, just like a fruit. The fruit receives strength and it becomes valuable to be a blessing. It's ready to be a blessing to somebody. It's made to be eaten. It's made to be received. We can be fruitful by receiving the love of God, having the heart of God, sharing life with others, giving people better advice. See, our focus is pivotal. It determines how we conduct ourselves. It determines how we make plans, what kind of goals we have, what we desire to do in life. It's what we're focused on. In the neighborhood I grew up in, it was a very good neighborhood. And you know, I look at what happened to me as a blessing from God. It was a new neighborhood, and people who bought houses there, they worked, and they wanted better. And they were willing to work. And they came from other neighborhoods, but they worked, they saved, they planned, and they bought a nice house. Well, when I was 9 years old, my daddy bought me a go-kart. Now I could ride around the neighborhood and see people just like my parents. Men sitting on the porch with their wives talking. And then I play with their children. I felt very safe. We weren't rich. We all worked hard. But it was a blessing to live there. And then I eventually got a mini bike, and I learned to fix those go-karts. Joe Pratt turned it over, and I learned to work on them. That's how I became a mechanic. I found out I was good at fixing things, and I wanted to ride that go-kart so bad that I learned to work on it. All right, the kind of vision that I saw men being a blessing to their family. They took care of their houses. They cut their grass. They washed their cars. Everything was nice. Everything was clean. And everybody from that neighborhood, we value it more than we ever did because we grew up in a wonderful condition. And it was a blessing to live in that neighborhood and see the things we saw. We didn't see people doing crazy things. We saw good things. And when people are doing things the right way, it's a blessing. It's a visual. And they went to church. Now these were post-war people. There was a time in the roaring 20s, people had a lot of money. And they did whatever they wanted to. And they kind of got away from God. But when World War I happened and then World War II happened, people saw how miserable life could be. And these were people that never saw the ugly side. They saw how bad things could be. And I could see, you know, when I looked at my daddy's eyes, when I saw his countenance, I saw a man that had peace. I saw a man that had wisdom. And I saw a man, and I didn't understand his dedication. He was very dedicated. And now he didn't talk much, but as his son, I saw what was in him. When I heard him preach, he was serious about it. And my dad he loved to laugh and carry on, but when it was time to preach God's word, he was very serious. And he took life serious. But he saw things he would never tell me about in World War II. And most of the people in that era saw things too, and they were very appreciative of their families. And they knew the importance of Christianity. They knew the importance of the love of God. They knew how bad things could be. And they appreciated life. It's all, everything pivots on the way you focus. So Adam had a part of love. God told him, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over it. When you decide to receive life, it prepares you to be a blessing to others. The second thing God said was to multiply, which means to increase greatly, so that with the intent of being a greater blessing. And then be liberal, be the kind of person that gives. You know, you raise children, you raise them up, you do what's necessary to take care of your family, and you raise them up to be strong, productive citizens. You replenish the earth. You don't see it, when God told Adam to replenish the earth, he was instructed to bear fruit after his kind. He already had that example, because all the food that we eat, all the plants that grow, they bear fruit after their kind. So the type of person you are in character, that's the kind of fruit you're going to bear. Now, when it comes to your natural children, that's what you bear. They see you. I saw my father. I saw his ways. I remember my father's face. I remember his dedication, his wisdom, his patience, his kindness, his peace. Now, to me, I thought everybody had a father like that when I was very young, because I had a good example. But everybody's father's not that way. I was blessed. And my mother taught me well. I was blessed. I had good parents. And I was around other adults who pulled the rope the same way. Now, I seen a few knuckleheads out there that just do anything, but that was rare when I was coming up. And it made me feel like, well, I need to do something. Everybody don't come from a good neighborhood. And I want to do something that will to be a blessing to people. I want to be like Adam. I want to do the things of God. Now, when I was 20 years old, I had a job I didn't like. I wasn't as far along as I felt like I should be. Things didn't go the way I really wanted them to. I was a Christian, though. And I said, Lord, take my life and do something with it. And I remember the day I said that. And the Lord started something. And he really blessed me. And I thank him for it. Now, when you focus on the Lord, these things of God will become your reality. But the world system runs opposite. It starts with what you focus on. Lucifer focused on himself. When everything was right, he probably didn't have a clue about sin. I don't know. He was very smart. He's not like we are. He was much set by compared to mankind. We have to learn step by step. Angels, I believe, were given great knowledge from God. The Lord can take anybody and give them knowledge if he wants to. Just like with Solomon. Solomon, the Lord said, he told him he could pray for whatever he wanted. And he'd do it. And he asked for wisdom, how to conduct himself before the people. And the Lord said, you could have asked me for a long life, for victory over your enemies, or great riches. And you asked me for wisdom. He said, and because you asked me for wisdom, I'm going to give you long life, victory over your enemies, and great wealth. And that's what happened. Now, it's easy for God to do that, but God gave him something that's special, wisdom. He had wisdom from God. And that's what happens when whatever God anoints a person to do, or when he anoints a person to do something, they have God's ability to do it. Their anointing is far beyond them. It's far beyond what you don't grow. The anointing will multiply if you're faithful with it and to it. If you'll do what you should do, it will multiply. But the anointing, with the anointing, you're given knowledge, a measure of knowledge that you didn't earn. You didn't go to school for it. Nobody taught it to you. It's different than an education. It was said by Habakkuk, the just shall live by his faith. All right? Anybody that will live by faith, the will to be educated is in it. Everything that life requires, you're able to accomplish by your faith. The reason we need faith is so that we can become educated, so that we can go forward in life. Now, some people love to take one thing and run with it. The anointing is beyond an education. But if you're anointed, whatever you're doing, you can do it in a greater way. Now, John said that you don't need men to teach you. Now, he was talking about people who were thinking that they had to wait till somebody to come teach them. He said, the anointing will teach you, and it will. The things that God is going to give you to do, the anointing will help prepare you for it. But that doesn't mean you disqualify other teachers. And some people always take things the wrong way. If the Lord gave us apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, that's because we need them. If God called you to be an apostle, you still need the teacher, the pastor, the evangelist, and the prophet in your life. You need to, at some point, you're going to need to be evangelized. At some point, you're going to need to be taught. You're going to have to receive different elements. Some people get in pride. And they say, well, I'm already educated. I have the anointing. I have this calling. And I don't need others. That's a lie from the pit. I need everybody who the Lord used to help me get to this point and the point that I'm getting to. I need everybody to do their part. I need the teacher. Well, the teacher's the lowest one on the list. The apostles are first. And you're called to be an apostle. It doesn't work that way. I still need teachers to teach me. The Lord will prepare me for what he wants me to do, and he uses others at his will. Some may be just getting started. Some may have been doing it a long time. I don't need the person. I need what God sends. If God sends them, I need them. If the Lord has something to say, I need what has to be said. And that's why so many people miss the mark. They're focused wrong. They're focused on being supreme. All right? Satan tried to be supreme. So if you try to be supreme, guess what's going to happen to you? Look what happened to Lucifer. It didn't turn out well. It didn't end well with him. I know firsthand, the Lord called me to be an apostle, sent me out there to be a blessing to people and share his word. Now, he knew what I was going to run into. And many people, some people heard what I said, agreed with it, but did something else. Some people heard what I said and began to do it. Most people heard what I said and disqualified it. Because I didn't look supreme. I looked like a very young man trying to tell them how to run their ministry. But the Lord never, ever sent me and told me to tell somebody how to run their ministry. My job was to alert them to the need to follow God. And then God would tell them how to run their ministry. See, when you get in pride, if your focus is off, you're going to miss the point. A lot of people, they miss out on their blessing trying to be supreme. Trying to be preeminent. Trying to be the best there is. All right, the Bible said we all know in part. And I've been seeking the Lord since 1988, or really before that. I've had a relationship where I talked to him since 91, and he talked to me. And I gave that in many other, I gave that testimony in many other broadcasts. And it started with the Word of God. He had me, he increased my word intake, and then he began to dialogue with me. Like he dialogued with Moses. And he wants to do the same thing with all of his people. I ask him something and he'll answer me. And it, you know, that didn't happen before as much in frequency before 1991. Well, the end of 1990, that's when it started. But nevertheless, even though the Lord was teaching me things, I'm still learning elementary things from the Holy Spirit. And the Lord uses people that other people disqualify, and I get the blessing because I don't disqualify anyone who speaks by the Holy Spirit. I'm listening with the expect. When I ask the Lord a question, I'm listening with the expectation, and he'll use somebody that will yield to him. They're not always older than me. They're not always a man. They're not always a teenager. It's anybody who yields to the Lord. They can be any age. And remember, a child's heart is lit. So when you're around children, the Lord can cause them to say some things that's just perfect for you. And God hates pride. So if you become proud in your way, my friend, you'll miss out on a lot of blessings, because pride is it's a false focus. It's the opposite of the heart of God. It has nothing to do with the character of God. And pride always starts with a false focus. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. All pride starts with desire. I want to be the best. I know what I'm doing, so I should be put first. It doesn't work that way. Anybody can be wise. Anybody can have the love of God in them. Anybody can do right, because Jesus Christ's blood washed our sins away. We have the ability to fulfill the law just like he did, because of what he did for us. For us. So when somebody speaks by the Holy Spirit, I listen. That's my authority figure. The word of God is my authority figure, and they spoke it. But see, Lucifer, he didn't want anybody to tell him what to do. And now the least of God's people can tell him to stop whatever he's doing at their will. My little girl can say, "Satan, you can't do that in Jesus' name." And old proud Lucifer has to stop in front of the whole universe. He has to stop what he's doing. It's been recorded. Children have stopped Satan's works who believe Jesus Christ and take him at his word. That's very humiliating for him. He hates it, but there's nothing he can do about it. Because what you bind on earth is also bound in heaven. Now, when people are focused on the Lord, they see what God has given them and why. And they begin to understand why God did things the way he do and how things work together. And their lives become healed. And they become better off in their way. But when people focus on the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye. If you're focused on the lust of the eye, you can't be satisfied. And it's going to get you in trouble. And if you get in sin, remember, there's no peace to the wicked. So your peace is going to leave when you get involved with being wicked. And you have to cut all ties with the world. Now, what if a person tried to get rid of the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye? If they get rid of those two, they never will get into pride. But if they get in pride and then they get rid of the lust of the flesh, which A proud person usually don't get rid of anything. But let's say they knew that the lust of the flesh is wrong and they stop it. And then the lust of the fly, the lust of the eye, they stop doing that and they stop it. But they don't do anything about the pride problem. Well, their lives are going to reflect whatever they allow. If you don't get it out of your system, if you don't drive out the Philistines and the Amalekites, just like Israel was supposed to drive out all the inhabitants of Canaan, if you don't drive them out, they're going to cause you problems. They're going to be an interference on the way you see God. Now, I talked earlier, a few minutes ago, about how the neighborhood I came from, you know, we moved there when I was 3. And I saw a good example. So that became my expectation. And so when I began to be an adult, I wanted to love God too. I wanted to be a good man. I wanted to have a nice house, live in a good neighborhood, and raise my children like they did. So if I was going to do that, that's what I was focused on doing. And that was God's will for me. That meant that certain things I can't do. So I tried to marry a wife, not a woman, just any woman, not the first pretty woman I saw. I wanted somebody of character because I realized that if you're going to live like that, you got to marry people of character. And if I'm going to marry a person that has character, then I got to have character too. And so that's what I tried to do. And that's wisdom. See, when you're focused on something, there's rules come with it. If you're going to go to school to be a doctor or a mechanic or anything, there are some things you can do and some things you can't. You're going to have enough study time so that you can get it. And you're going to have to be dedicated so you don't quit. You got to be focused on what you're doing and why you're doing it. Now, you can focus on the goal and you'll probably get it done. But if you focus on the Lord, not only will you get your goal done, it'll be done right. And you'll understand things in a greater way. So, I want people to understand something. It's good to have goals, and you're going to have to focus to do them. That's true. But the reason I always say, look to the Lord. If your eye be single, your whole body will be full of light. That's because the revelation that I continually receive from the Lord, He thinks of everything. He evaluates everything. And when you're looking at Him, you see things you need. You see opportunities that He sends, and it aids you in life. It makes everything better. If you visit a loving church, and you can tell by the Holy Spirit, this is where you need to be. All right, everything's healing in your life going forward. The enemy will come and say, "Well, you're doing fine now. You don't really need the church anymore. You can just stay at home and sleep a little later." And at first things will seem real fine, real good and relaxed. But He's still fighting you. Now, that church is your network. I told my daughter, she's about to go to college. One is in college. I said, go to church. That's your network. When you feel down and out, people are going to help build you up. When others feel down and out, you'll be there to help build them up. And what you sow, you reap. So, when you do what Jesus said and not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, He said it for a reason. Now, some people, they feel condemned or they feel bad if they miss a service. There will be times you may miss, but go at least once a week. Always go. If you can be there, because God is there talking to you. If you don't go, you won't hear what He said. And I don't like to miss. I miss sometime when I have a workload. I don't, just like a person has a second job. If I have to get a car, I miss. I don't like to, because I know God is there talking through the pastor and others. But when I go, I hear what's being said and I'm blessed. When you're focused on the Lord, things fall in place. But it don't just fall in place because God wants it to. You will see what choices to make, and you'll see what to believe God for, and you'll trust Him better when your focus is right. The focus, just because you focus on God, don't mean your life will fall in place automatically. You'll know what to do and what not to do. You'll learn skills that you can't learn any other way. But if you're focused on greed, the lust of the eye, that problem will become greater in your eyes, and the problems that it causes will become greater than God in your eyes, in your eyes. And when people get in pride, they usually become very miserable people, full of anxiety and fear, because pride works by fear. You'll start doing using fear. If you trust to do fear tactics, you're in trouble. Because God doesn't give us the spirit of fear. That means that simultaneously we should never attempt to put people in fear. We should love them and be a blessing to them, even our enemies. I don't want people to fear me. I want them to know that I love them. And then they'll respect you, and you won't even have to fight in most cases. And if you do, God can give you victory. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in your life. Yes, your life, in Jesus' name.